Hey there. Welcome to the Pine Island Experience Podcast. I'm Joanna Anderson with my husband, Trigvi. Each of our episodes will be conversations with fellow Pine Islanders.
The goal of our podcast is to share with you our experiences, what we have found to be fun, and what makes the Pine Island experience so unique.
And I painted some note cards, and I sent my dad up in Cleveland a little note on a card that I painted with three or four sailboats on it. And he called me right away and said, "Why aren't you doing this anymore? You need to put this on a canvas." And I'm like, "Oh, Dad." One of my most popular ones that I'm numbering them now, and I think I'm on number 8 or 9.
Julie Gilson was sharing how a life-changing accident and the challenges that followed led her back to her first love, art. With resilience and heart, she transformed adversity into inspiration, building a life filled with creativity, teaching, and community. Julie often says good things can come out of a tragedy. And now, here's Julie. Julie Gilson is with us, famous artist on Pine Island, Matt Lachey, down in the Island Flair and other places. We welcome you to the podcast. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We always start in the beginning, and it's about you. Where are you from? Where you grew up? Where you been? How did you get here to Pine Island? Could you fill us in?
I would love to. I am from Northeast Ohio. I am a transplant, like most are, up on Lake Erie. So I have a love of water and of coastlines. Obviously, a love of art. I started drawing when I was, I think, about 7 years old, 6. And I would just doodle all of the time, which got me in trouble at school sometimes. It wasn't always the best problem to have. And through school, I took classes, private classes, and my mom thought I was gifted. Maybe with drawing, not so much with my grades. But so I ended up taking some private classes from a local artist in Northeast Ohio, out of Cleveland. Loved that. And then I got into high school and into sports and activities and clubs. And that really was, she was about ready to retire. So I stopped that. And then I got involved with art club and babysat for my art teacher, who she's not with us anymore, but I wish so badly I could tell her what I'm doing today, 30 some years later. So became president of art club. And I really just drew, painted all the backdrops for proms and homecomings and parades and sporting events and different signs for different people, for the homecoming court girls, for their cars. And then I decided I wanted to maybe be an art teacher. I loved my art teacher in high school, and she was thrilled with the fact and helped me put together a portfolio and helped me apply to Columbus College of Art and Design in Columbus. So I got a scholarship. My plan was, again, to be like my favorite teacher. I ended up not finishing school. Time went on. I got my first big girl job and thought, well, I'll just do art on the side. It wasn't very long and I just never did anything for many years. I really, once in a while, I would do a craft or something, but never again did I paint on canvas for probably 20 years. Then I started in the town where I'm from in Northeast Ohio. Is very close to the Grand River Valley, which is beautiful, rolling, a little bit hilly. And there are, I believe, over 48 wineries. So it's like a little mini Napa. It's beautiful. And I started teaching classes there. Not painting, just different things. I did a driftwood class with air plants. And it was always seasonal. One fall, I did a real pumpkin. You carved out your pumpkin and made it into a live floral arrangement. I like to use natural things from nature to make art. You know, you only need so many things in your house. So every time I teach a class, I try to make it more of a workshop for a project of something you want to create for yourself, for your own home that you don't already have already. Not a painting, you know, not a figurine, or something you can give as a gift. Because I love gift-giving art. That's one of my passions too. I love giving art as gifts. Because every time someone gives me something, every time I look at it, no matter what it is, I think of that person. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed the classes there. And then it was about 5 years ago. I can't remember exactly. I know it was before Ian, at least a year before Ian. I ended up down here. And then 2 years ago, I ended up being here full time. I love it. I love Pine Island. It's quirky. I always tell people when they ask about it, I say, it's the island of misfits. You have so many different types of people and you can be sitting by a homeless person at a restaurant and a billionaire on the other side and you don't know who's who. And I love that. Everybody here has a history and everybody here also can recreate themselves. And so I feel as if I maybe reinvented myself. Once I got here, everything started. I was just so inspired with the landscape and the people and the marine life and the outdoor life. I've always been outdoorsy. I had horses for 30 years before I made the final move down here. It's a little too hot for my liking down here for horses. I mean, there are plenty around, but oof, the bugs.
How did you know about Pine Island? I mean, had you heard about it or?
I was visiting friends in the Cape. And I had visited them a few times. And then one time came down to visit and they said, we're going to take you to see Old Florida. And I said, what does that even mean? I've always heard Old Florida. And we joked and I said, like the Golden Girls kind of Old Florida. And they took us to breakfast to Matt Lachey, to the Perfect Cup. Loved it. Everything was still open in Matt Lachey. It was just vibrant, full of life and beautiful. Shopped up and down Matt Lachey. And then we drove over to Pine Island and they took us to the top and then showed us all the spots all the way down to the bottom. So now that's my tour I give people. And I just loved it. And we came back a couple of weeks later and drove top to bottom, came back again and just knew that was it. But it was difficult because I was grooming dogs at the time. Actually, I was a vet tech for a short time and had an accident actually with my horses. And ironically enough, I was attacked by pit bulls. The horses were too. And I was driving a team of horses. And the dogs just came out of the woods out of nowhere. They started, and I was so relaxed. My girls were great, great, quiet horses. Never had a problem. I'm by no means a horse trainer, but I broke them both, and they were sweet and kind and safe. Anyway, it did not end up well. It's kind of silly in a way. I always say I fell off the wagon when people say, what happened? So I was up high in my show wagon, and we went into a ditch. The horses were heading home. The dogs then were barking and growling, and the front two wheels went into the ditch and the back two wheels came in, I went airborne and I was still pulling the lines, trying to stop them. And so as I fell, my arms and my elbows were pulled into my stomach and I was pulling on the lines and I landed on my right side. So I smashed several ribs, my clavicle, my arm, my humerus, and my arm, and had a collapsed lung. So everything on my right side basically was squashed. I ended up having multiple surgeries on my shoulder and took about a year off and finally went back. I was working at the vet clinic and that day I remember I lifted a dog and I knew something was wrong. I went to the bathroom and my clavicle bone was literally sticking out of my neck, not through the skin, but it had separated and it wasn't healed enough. So I had to take more time off. And then by then COVID happened and I was starting to take care of dogs. I was doing potty breaks, dog walking, just really whatever I could. I did not know what I was going to do because every job I've had in my life was physical, lifting and bending and moving. No matter what I've done in my life, it's always been physical work. So I thought, well, I guess I can walk a dog. Couldn't ride my horses. They were recovering, which they were fine, thank goodness, at the end. So I started grooming dogs and that went great because I'm the only one I know that really COVID worked out great for. Because I was really just walking dogs, hadn't planned on being a groomer. Told all my clients, you know, if you're going to the Westminster Dog Show, I'm not your girl. But they were begging me to give their dogs haircuts because every place had closed. And I was mobile. I was coming to them. So I didn't have a brick and mortar where anybody would be waiting around. Did take about a week or two off when COVID first came out. And then I thought, you know, the weather's nice. I can groom their dogs outside. And so it just took off. It was insane. It just grew. And I made sure to tell all my clients, you know, I'm not here to steal you from your dog groomer as soon as they open, you know, go back. It worked out great. I became friends with another local groomer, Pup Cuts. And we would share people, you know, if there was a dog that I didn't feel I could do a good enough job on and they wanted a fancy cut, I'd refer them to her. And when she would have clients that were getting older or their dogs were and they didn't want to leave to come see her. She would send them to me and then I would go to their home. So it worked out great with local groomers. But then I fell in love with Florida and I thought, how am I going to do this? My classes, I was still teaching my classes up there at the wineries. And I thought, how can I do my dogs and my art in Florida? And I just kind of flew back and forth for 2 years. When I was in Ohio, I would come down here to do my dogs, my clients here, so I wouldn't lose them because I knew I was trying to work on a full-time basis for down here. And then when I was down here, I would fly up to Ohio every 6 weeks to do, I would cram all my dogs into a week and it was terrible. So I ended up in Ohio, I averaged about 90 to 100 dogs a month. And then down here, it never was that busy down here. There's not as many people here. And I really try not to leave the island. I have a few favorites in the Cape that I'll go to, but I don't advertise. I usually say no thank you if I get a call from too far away. And did the transition from Ohio to Florida. Then about a year and a half ago, I started having new pain in my back. I was exhausted after doing just 2 dogs in a day. And some days I would do 6 and I would come home almost in tears with pain, thinking, you know, what am I going to do now? Because again, that's physical, lifting and moving dogs and carrying all of my equipment. I started doing more of the island festivals here. I would set up booths and try to phase down a lot of the larger dogs, unfortunately, which are my favorite because I do have a Great Dane. So I was really sad to have to turn away some of my larger dogs, just kind of sticking with the smaller ones now and thinking in my head, you know, I can't retire yet. I've got a while. And I painted some note cards and I sent my dad up in Cleveland a little note on a card that I painted with 3 or 4 sailboats on it. And he called me right away and said, why aren't you doing this anymore? You need to put this on a canvas. And I'm like, oh, dad, one of my most popular ones that I'm numbering them now. And I think I'm on number 8 or 9.
I know which one you're talking about.
It's primary colored boats.
Yes.
It's bright and
it's stunning.
Thank you very much.
It really is.
So I've always liked to use painting. Actually was never really my favorite thing, but it's kind of coming back. But I love painting. My style's different. It's not, I don't want to say animated, but it's not naturalistic either. It's just different. Mm-hmm. And I love doing all the different birds that are here and I'm getting into some fish and it's fun. Ended up getting some classes here going. So mm-hmm. I do classes at Kickstands. I love Sheila at Kickstands. Yep. She's great. And she welcomed me and was all excited about hosting classes there. I've done classes at Jug Creek Marina. And actually I painted a animated mural down there. There's a big mural painted at Jug Creek Marina. And I did that. Taught some classes there. And I recently started doing classes at Pineland Marina with Island Girl Eats under the tiki at sunset. And that is a beautiful venue. It's off season now, so my classes are pretty small, but it's nice because I get to meet more people and do more one-on-one and help them more. And I love using driftwood and beach glass and stuff from nature. It is difficult finding driftwood down here, though. It's pitted and full of holes and little crabs and critters. So every time I go up to Ohio, I box up driftwood from Lake Erie that I find, dry it, and I mail it to myself down here. Yeah, so it's interesting. I try to keep everything different. A few months ago, I reached out to Jen at Island Flair. I saw she was looking for artists and actually a friend of mine, it was her idea. And she said, hey, let's go check this out. And Kelly Simpson, she's another great mm-hmm. local artist. And so she and I ended up deciding we would rent a spot there. So that's how that got started. And it's been amazing. I love it.
So when did you form then Julie's Coastal Creations? So you had this love in high school, but you've had other jobs and maybe kind of in a weird way, maybe the silver lining of the accident, it's led you back to the art.
Exactly.
And then, so Julie Coastal Creation now is kind of like your job or your main focus with the artwork and
correct.
Stuff.
Yes.
So how long has that been in existence then?
That actually, I started up on the Lake Erie coast. I started with, I was throwing around names and I came up with Unique Creations, but that wasn't very fun. And I thought, well, I'm on the coast up there and I'm on the coast down here. So I'm just going to go with Coastal Creations. And that's how that happened. It's fun. And you know, and I've always thought this, and in my whole life, every job I've had, I've I've truly loved it. I was a school bus driver for 10 years and I loved that. I loved the kids. And I feel like, you know, life is too short not to love what you're doing. And when you love what you're doing, you're not really working, in my opinion.
It sounds like you've always wanted to be an artist from when you were young. And you've stayed true, really. You've come back to it. You came back to it after you took off. You know, you didn't do it for a while. But it's always been calling you.
It has been calling me. My dad's an artist.
Okay.
And he always drew and still does. And it's fun. It's interesting. Life circle. You know, it's just a big circle where you end up and how you end up. I never thought people would buy my artwork, you know, many, many moons ago. I did sell one picture in high school to a PTA mom. And I was floored.
That's huge.
But since then, I hadn't sold art. I really enjoyed teaching. That's fun. But selling... Just yesterday, I was grooming a dog down here and one of my wooden sailboats was in their house on their kitchen counter. They make sailboats out of driftwood. So the base of the boat is driftwood and then the mast is another piece of driftwood and then material. It's really interesting. It's neat.
It's nice when you see your artwork in other people's homes, isn't it?
It is.
So we've all gone to the beach or the coastline and we walk around and I would say most people say, oh, this is really beautiful. But what's your process then for taking something that I think most of us, you know, see visually and like, or we take a photo and then we probably leave, right? But you're finding things in that environment that you see the piece of artwork or jewelry coming about, or do you just think it might be interesting and you work on it later? Like, how's that process from that discovery, you know, to a finished piece?
That's funny you ask, because I was just thinking about that the other day. I used to just pick up interesting pieces and think, oh, I'll make something out of this. But now when I'm looking on the beach for driftwood, I'll say, oh, that looks like a pelican head. And I actually have a pelican up at Island Flare right now out of driftwood. And it does. It's got the arch in the neck and the long, it looks like a long beak tucked down into its belly. And oh gosh, when I was up in Ohio a couple weeks ago, I found another piece that I said, oh my gosh, that looks like a spoonbill. It had a hole in the eye and the nose was rounded and really odd shaped. So it's kind of hit and miss and luck, really. Or maybe my mind just wanders. That's probably more than what it is my mind.
And it's a good excuse to spend time walking along the coast and seeing the water and the scenery.
I love it. And well, that whole thing started with when my arm was in a sling and I couldn't work for a year. And I would just walk the beach and walk the beach and walk the beach and pick up beach glass. And then I thought, what am I going to do with all of this? And I must have had 4 or 5 gallon buckets of beach glass. And it is dwindling. I hardly have any. I have a new stash that I just found a couple of weeks ago, but I need to spend more time up there and get a lot more, because it's different when you find it. You can buy beach glass anywhere and you can even try and tumble it, but it doesn't look authentic. And I do enjoy doing art and I love doing it, but I feel like, well, about a year and a half ago, when my back started hurting terribly bad and shooting pain, I thought, well, it doesn't hurt when I stand and paint, because I have a really hard time sitting, not because I also have ADHD. So I'm not well at sitting down, but standing, I don't have much pain, which is odd to some people, because usually it hurts standing and walking, and I actually feel the best standing. So I started painting more and more and started going to the doctor more and more, and found that in that accident, all the doctors and even myself were so focused on my right side, I actually refractured vertebrae on the bottom left side of my spine, and they healed deformed, and they're actually pushing into the sciatic joint, which in turn is hitting the nerve and shooting down. I ended up getting an MRI, and I had 7 or 8 torn muscles in my back and bottom and thigh, and that was all from bending over and doing dogs on top of already all of my injuries that I didn't even realize about the back, because the clavicle hurt so bad. I didn't even know I broke my arm till 2 weeks later, because my pain was so focused in one place. So that also kind of, even though it was a bad situation with the accident, and then finding out 6, 7 years later that there was more injury from the accident that's just now showing up. So bad things are pushing me back into art. It's, you know, I'm not a fan of the saying, all things happen for a reason. I prefer to say good things can come out of a tragedy sometimes. Usually I can find something good out of something bad, but it just keeps coming back to art. It's interesting.
So you work with resin. Tell us about how you discovered it and how you use it now in your creations.
Resin, I first got interested in down here. Everyone does the seawater and the white, and you get the heat gone. And I always thought that was beautiful. And so I just really kind of felt self-taught myself, watched some YouTube videos, started doing different things, not necessarily so much with the waves, but more with shells and some of the sailboats. I did the base. I'd cover those with resin, and it's a two-part mix. It's an epoxy two-part mix with a hardener. You have to make absolutely sure you mix it 50-50. If you have it 52 to 48, it will not cure. It won't dry. You have to be very precise. It's like baking, which is why I don't bake. So I just dabble with resin because it is very, very, very precise, and it's hard to get it right. I've taught a few classes on it, and I honestly, I don't know that I'll do it again because it's messy and it's difficult and it's time consuming. It takes, you know, at least 24 hours to cure. I like my most favorite project, I think, of all time being down here are my windows that I got from a house that was lifted. It was one of the first homes built in Pineland in 1912, and the house just got raised. It's on the curve on Waterfront and Pineland Road. I acquired all of the windows that survived since 1912. And that those windows have seen 17 hurricanes since 1912, five of them being major hurricanes. It's a miracle that the window, the pane is still in it, you know? And that is my favorite resin project because I fill those with beach glass and then pour the resin, and it is on there for good. It preserves everything. It preserves the shells, the glass. It's hard to explain. You kind of have to see it in person, but that's my most favorite resin project.
That's a very strong material, right? So you can do almost, if you can get it into or attached to something, it's going to like structurally hold it.
Correct. I did my entire countertop down here in resin. It was in the downstairs. I live in a stilt home, and there was an apartment down there. Was before Hurricane Milton. But what bummed me out the worst about the whole losing the whole apartment was my countertop that I had spent months, because it was layer after layer after layer and several hundred dollars in resin. It's also very, very expensive. The countertops were already painted when we bought the house, and they were painted turquoise, which is my favorite color, but not on a countertop really. So I repainted it. I just did a pour of different shades of white that I had left over. And beiges. And then I just sloppily dumped the paint on and it looked sort of beachy. And then I sprinkled down sand. And then I started hand picking shells and pieces of glass and set them the way I wanted them. OCD, ADHD. It took hours getting it all ready. And then I did the pour and then another and then another. And so it would have lasted a very long time had the hurricane not demolished.
So everything was fine. I mean, the rest was destroyed, but the countertop was still good. The
countertop was good.
Oh, it was. I thought you were going to tell us you lost it.
It all chipped when we had to pry it away from the wall.
Yeah, so. It's a little bit brittle then maybe.
Yes.
It's probably hard to answer as an artist, but is there a favorite piece or are you kind of driven by doing something that, you know, you like it or you wouldn't create it, then you kind of move on to the next piece, or do you still go back like to your father's compliment on the boats?
I do have a few that are numbered. The ones that seem to draw people in. I like, and they're all just a little bit different because I don't do prints. I really want to stay from that. I want everything to be original and a little bit different. So I'm numbering them. But they are just a tad off. So very few, though, are like that. And each window I make with the resin and the shells, those are all very, very different. I think I only have about four paintings that are numbered that I'm going to keep replicating.
I wanted to ask you about teaching a little bit more. I know you said it was too bad your art teacher didn't know what you were doing today. But have you seen with your students, have you seen any of them emerge and become an art, you know, follow your same path?
Some of them, actually.
It must make you feel good.
I never thought about it, but there are a few. And a lot of them become friends, and which is leads back to this island and just how interesting it is. I get to know people from the gallery, which also won Best Art Gallery for 2025.
Good. That was soon.
Yeah, that was real quick. And so it's fun meeting so many different people, from the dogs and the classes and then home classes. I do classes at home too.
Oh.
Also, I did a few birthday parties up in Ohio for children, projects, and in my barn in Ohio where I used to keep my horse, I would do crafts for horse camp for all the kids. We would do a 2-hour craft session. So, and that was beach glass on horseshoes. And you hang it over your door. You may be getting one of those.
Oh, that would be lovely.
For good luck. But so there's, and I try to stay with, keep in touch with what's going on in the community. So for Stone Crab Fest, I made a lot of crabs out of driftwood, on driftwood or on shiplap with driftwood. And for the mullet toss, I had a few mullet pieces. And so coming up is the Mango Fest. I have no paintings of mangoes.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie.
Do?
I'm not sure what I'm going to do for that. But that's coming up on July 12th. And then July 11th is the art walk, the next art walk in Matlashay, which is going to be every second Friday of each month. So I'll be in front of Island Flair and the Matlashay Menagerie. Love that gallery too. And I'm actually working on a blue dog for John and Tammy at the Blue Dog.
Oh, nice.
So I asked for permission because it is replicating their logo and one of their logos. And that is just about done. And then I'm starting another one for that. Those will be numbered. And there's a, and then I'll stop at a certain number because sort of retire it. So he said I can paint in front of there. And that's one of my favorite places too. I also did a class or two at Street Eats. I love that too.
Another great place.
And then there's going to be Christmas in July, on July 25th at Island Flair. The ribbon cutting is July 16th. So there's a lot of fun things coming up. And I have some ideas for Christmas.
Wow. And that's a huge season, Christmas. Wow, you're busy.
I am busy.
Very busy.
But it's fun busy.
You know, and I was thinking of this when you were talking about artists. I wish I knew how many artists lived on Pine Island. You meet so many people and then you find out they're artists after you've met them.
It's amazing. It's like the Nashville music is Pine Island with art.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. It's amazing. And everybody's so different.
Yes.
No. So very
so
different.
So creative.
So you're already working with a bunch of different stuff. You got the paintings and the canvas and the driftwood, or excuse me, the resin and the driftwood. Are you looking to other things, or are you just kind of happy with those? And like you say, like you're thinking about Christmas, or you're thinking about what you might do for the mango thing. So is it kind of, you know, is it, you think about expanding into stuff, or are you just thinking about more themed stuff with what's like going on with the community in the island?
I guess we'll have to see. I'm not sure, because the window thing, that was just literally a window of opportunity. And I like history too, especially history of a place where I love. I love it, my hometown history, and I love Pine Island history. And so we'll see, but I do have some beach glass Christmas ornaments that I made years ago that I will be bringing back to life.
So if people are interested in your creations, how best do they get a hold of you? Whether it's, you know, for something commercially, and or you mentioned some custom work earlier.
Yes, I did some custom paintings for people last month and the month before. My favorite custom job though was just a few weeks ago, and it was a huge 58-inch by 48-inch mirror for a double vanity in a bathroom, and it's gorgeous, and it is framed with driftwood. And she's got a beach-themed bathroom, and it was very difficult to not tell her, hey, sorry, it didn't work out. Keep it for myself. I loved that. But so they got a hold of me through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Julie Gilson, J-U-L-I, on Facebook, and Coastal Creations also has a Facebook page. And then I still have my old page with his unique creations. But my best pieces, I try to all put at the gallery at Island Flair.
Yeah, you have a special spot there.
I love my spot there. My little turquoise corner.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Well, this has been very enjoyable. Thank you for coming. I know it. Yeah, it's not easy. So thank you. You didn't know us. You didn't know what you were getting into and did a wonderful job. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed our Pine Island Experience podcast. If you have any ideas for us, people to interview, or any comments, please feel free to email them to us at pineislandexperience@gmail.com. That's pineislandexperience, all one word, @gmail.com. Don't forget to like us, and you may subscribe to this podcast using all the major catchers like Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks again for listening, and remember, island life is a constant vacation. We'll see you on the next podcast.